Hello, and welcome to the special SearchSecurity.com podcast. I'm Brendan Blevins. Thanks for listening. In today's podcast, we will cover the top features to look for when purchasing a next-generation firewall. Joining me today is John Burke. John is Principal Research Analyst with Emerdes Research. Thanks for joining us today, John.
Thanks, Brendan. My pleasure.
Before we begin, let's mention that this podcast is part of SearchSecurity.com Security School, which you can visit at any time by navigating to SearchSecurity.com/security school. John, let's set the stage before we get to the countdown. We know that a next-generation firewall is a behavior-aware system that focuses on policy, applications and identities, as well as network activity. With that said, what does the next-generation firewall vendor landscape look like right now?
Good question, Brandon. Right now, we're seeing the inevitable thing that happens in markets like this. We had a good crop of innovative young companies come up to build the category of next-generation firewall, people like Palo Alto Networks, SonicWall, Fortinet, and they've really gone out there, established the category, made it clear that it's both a necessary and successful category for security devices, and they are now mature, many generations into their product offerings, and to some extent facing the prospect of market consolidation. So we've seen SonicWall purchased by Dell. It's probable that either Palo Alto or Fortinet will also get purchased at some point. And more traditional security vendors like Checkpoint, McAfee, Cisco are moving into the space with their own offerings. And so we're likely to see the distinction between firewall and next-generation firewall fade out over the next few years as essentially they all become next-generation firewalls, and we have to start looking to the next thing that comes over the hill.
Okay, well, let's get to the list. For listeners who haven't heard one of our countdown podcasts before, we're going to work our way through a list of several important topics, one at a time, and John will speak to each topic as we go. So let's begin. First on our list of the top features to look for when shopping for a next-generation firewall, performance. John, everyone wants fast throughput, but how fast do next-generation firewalls really need to be?
In a word, they need to be wire speed, as fast as the connections you're going to plug into either side of them, because you want to secure everything you've got going through the network, and you don't want to introduce unsightly performance hiccups into your voice traffic, your video traffic that may be going across that gateway, either among your own employees or between your employees and your partners or your clients and customers. So you need something that's going to run at wire speed, and you need it to be able to do all the work it wants to do at that speed. So it can't be that you're still trapped in that old conundrum of either turning on all the features that you want or having the performance that you want. You need to be able to have all functions enabled and still be working at maximum speed. So, you know, if you've got a 100 megabit connection between your data center and your ISP, you need a firewall that will do absolutely everything, all features on, and still function at 100 megabit throughput without introducing unacceptable latencies into the equation. And you need to have a platform that's very stable in that respect as well, functioning at that speed 24/7, because if people can cause your firewall to crash just by saturating it with traffic, in essence, you've given them a denial of service point against your network. And, you know, anything that's in the critical path that all traffic has to pass through, if you can make it crash, you've done a denial of service attack. So it's got to be robust, performing at wire speed with all features enabled.
Next on our list of the top features to look for when shopping for a next-generation firewall, identity and context awareness. John, this is going to be a new concept for a lot of IT managers who have purchased firewalls in the past. Tell us more.
Well, certainly. Best way to frame it might be to start with an analogy. As a kid, I was often told, John, use your indoor voice, because I was in the habit of shouting a lot. And it was certainly perfectly appropriate for me to be yelling at the top of my lungs in the backyard, playing with my brothers and sisters and cousins, etc., but it was not appropriate at the dinner table. Use your indoor voice indicates that there's some things that are okay sometimes and in some places and not okay at other times in other places. And it's okay for me to yell with my brothers and sisters and cousins, but it's not okay for me to yell at my great aunt who's 90 years old. So some things are okay between one set of people and not okay between another set of people. This analogy carries through perfectly well into the context of enterprise application usage. And it's okay for people to use a system sometimes and not other times. It's okay for some people to use a system and other people not. And it's okay to use a system from some places and not from other places. Consider Facebook as a very common example right now. Lots of companies have had a no Facebook policy in the past, but they've realized that they want their salespeople, they want their support staff, they want a lot of their staff to be on Facebook so that they're available to their important clients and customers and suppliers and partners. And as this continues to spread, as this practice of using Facebook in this fashion continues to spread, more and more companies want to open it up with limits. So they want to say, these people can use Facebook and not those people. At the same time, you've got pressure from the staff to want to be able to use Facebook because they live some significant portion of their life on it and through it. And so you've got this pressure to make it available to everybody, but with some limits. Yes, you can make posts, but no, you can't do file sharing because that's too insecure. Too many viruses come through that way. Yes, you can make posts on your status, but no, you can't play Farmville because it chews up too much bandwidth. So identity awareness, who's trying to do something, context awareness, when and where they're trying to do what specifically, not just access an application, but use what parts of the application. Those are increasingly important things that a security device needs to be able to take into account in order to provide the flexible kind of protection that the enterprise is coming to need and demand.
Let's move on. Next on our list of the top features to look for when purchasing a next-generation firewall, application awareness. John, this is the most hyped feature next-generation firewalls offer, but what options should really matter to enterprises?
As indicated in the previous answer, one of the most important aspects of recognizing the traffic that goes with an application is being able to recognize it in a pretty granular kind of way. Not just, is that Oracle traffic, but is that Oracle traffic that's aimed at updating data in the systems, or is it reporting traffic? Is that just print traffic that Oracle's generating something and sending it out to a printer somewhere? If you can recognize the pieces of an application's traffic streams, then you can prioritize properly and you can secure properly. Again, the Facebook example is critical. If you can say, yes, you can post, but no, you can't play Farmville, then you can have a fairly robust level of control and a fairly robust level of risk mitigation over the use of Facebook. And so you can make your users happy and your social networking strategy folks happy by allowing it, but you can, again, keep your security and risk folks happy by mitigating the risks presented by that use pretty robustly. It's increasingly important to have application awareness because attacks from outside are increasingly targeting higher levels of the network infrastructure, of the network stack. That is, they're looking beyond TCP/IP. They're looking all the way up at SSL, at HTTP. They're looking at the actual applications. And for example, can I send something that looks sort of like legitimate SQL traffic and compromise your database system, get information out of it that you didn't mean for me to get a look at? An application-aware firewall could, for example, notice that a request to dump the contents of a key system table where it's coming from a user in a cafe in France and say, hey, wait, you know, that's not one of the places where we've said it's okay to talk to the firewall about this stuff, so I'm just going to block that traffic. This makes the application-aware firewall both a critical defense bulwark and also an interesting detection system. What are people trying to do? And is our code able to deal with these kinds of attack? Because no defense is perfect, of course. If something were to get through, if it were to look legitimate enough, or if somebody were to try and execute that attack from a place where, you know, say, people were allowed to make those kinds of requests, is the code robust enough to protect against it itself, to not fulfill that request, to not dump all that data when it's not supposed to? So it can provide an interesting early detection system that lets you review your code base and strengthen it and secure it better.
Moving on, next on our list of the top features to look for when shopping for a next-generation firewall, flexibility. John, that seems counterintuitive. Isn't a firewall supposed to be inflexible?
Oh, certainly inflexible in its defense of your assets. You need something that is unfailingly, of course, working to protect you. But you need it to be flexible in how it meets those needs, because those needs are themselves changing rapidly. So you need something that can fill a variety of firewall niches. You need something that perhaps can meet the needs of your largest data center, but also the needs of a small server room that you've got in a large branch office in a region distant from your data center. You may be running some applications out of there for performance reasons. You need protection there as well. Or you may have operations in different countries that have to be distinct from each other. You may have things in the EU that have to stay there for legal and compliance reasons, and separate from your operations in India, separate from your operations in Canada. But you want robust protection in each of those places, and you know the scale may be radically different, the set of applications may be radically different, the bandwidths may be radically different, but you need a firewall that can drop into any one of those niches and protect equally well. Or you may want a software-only firewall that you can drop into an infrastructure as a service data center, an entirely virtualized one that's running, you know, in Amazon or Terramark or Dell or someplace. So you need something that's very flexible in how it is situated and how you can employ it, even while it's, yes, inflexible in defense of your systems.
Let's keep going. Another important feature to look for when shopping for a next-generation firewall, a low cost. John, how does the cost of these products compare with the cost of traditional firewalls?
You should expect it to be lower, at least to get a given level of protection, in terms of throughput, in terms of number of connections or flows monitored. You should expect it to be lower, and you should expect prices to stay in the zones they are now and even get lower still. As compute power gets cheaper and cheaper, as high-speed network processing gets cheaper and cheaper, these products should continue to be cheaper than the traditional ones, and you should expect no less.
A few more to go. Next on our list of the top features to look for when purchasing a next-generation firewall, open and well-connected. John, usually you want a firewall to stave off connections, not make more. What gives?
Well, you always want it to reject the bad connections, of course, but as weird as it sounds, you definitely, in this world that we're building, want a firewall that is able to securely integrate with other systems. And the primary ways that you want it to do so are on the inbound side. You want it to be able to consume policies. You want there to be somewhere in the network a policy engine that maintains in one place, and so you can maintain it with one set of processes, the set of security policies that will control access to network resources. You want that kind of policy engine to push policies out to the other devices in the network, to, if you've still got one, an IDS, IPS, to any firewalls you've got in place, to any other systems that are providing active defense. So you want your firewall to be able to consume policies from a given fairly tightly identified policy engine in your network. You also want it to be able to dump data out to your security incident event management system, your SIMSEM, SIEM, however you want to pronounce it, so that you can analyze logs and audit traffic handling and otherwise keep a close eye on what's going on the network at the moment. And if you've got any other devices out there, application proxies that are outside your firewall, XML gateways that are doing more than just securing the traffic, but you need them to be in contact with your firewall, all of these things need to be able to talk to each other, again, very securely, but still they need to talk. Also, it's increasingly important, given the pace of change in the threat landscape, for most devices to have the ability to pull information from some kind of cloud-based service for providing up-to-date information on new attacks that have been found, defenses against them, new behavioral fingerprints, if you will, for both legitimate and bad applications. Those application fingerprints are what let most next-generation firewalls rapidly identify the traffic that's passing through them so it can handle it properly.
Two more to go. The penultimate item on our list of the top features to look for when purchasing a next-generation firewall, management simplicity. John, is it realistic to ask for an easy-to-manage firewall, even though it adds all these new capabilities?
Yes, it is realistic to ask for something to be easy to manage. Everything should be easy to manage. And the fact that more things aren't is, of course, an ongoing source of scandal. But yes, there should be far fewer professionals out there whose job it is to maintain firewall rule sets. There are things they could be doing to better contribute to the security landscape, but they're forced to be constantly managing rule sets because rule sets get huge, complicated, and incredibly convoluted. As you move into the new enterprise firewall space, as you move into these next generation firewalls, it should be possible to implement security goals without having to create as many specific nitpicking rules to accomplish that in pushing a policy into the device, whether manually or via some kind of policy engine. The firewall should do more of the work for you in creating more specific rules about what gets in and what gets out. So out of the box, an NGFW should understand more about how to lock down ports and protocols, which is still a piece of the picture, based on what you tell it about which applications are okay to use when and by whom.
Here we are, the final item on our list of the top features to look for when purchasing a next-generation firewall. It needs to be Protean. John, that's an interesting choice of words. Tell us what you mean.
It should be able to assume a number of shapes or be deliverable or delivered in a number of form factors because the needs of the enterprise have changed over the last few years with respect to how it provides services and how it therefore needs firewalls to sit inside the infrastructure. Certainly, a gateway appliance on the critical path between router and inside network is still a place that you need to have a firewall and a place where the firewall needs to function well. It could be done with an appliance. It could be done with software running on a router. It could be done with a blade plugged into a modular router or a blade plugged into the switch behind that router. It could be done with a virtual appliance because lots of folks do use firewalls inside their data centers to separate segments of the infrastructure from each other to make sure that all the traffic that's going from segment A to segment B is being sniffed and filtered just as carefully and just as thoroughly as all the traffic coming from the internet is. And in that case, given the way they're now building their data centers, they may need that virtual appliance form factor. And of course, as people continue to explore and move more systems and workloads into cloud infrastructures, it's possible that you need not just a virtual appliance, but one that is designed to run inside Amazon Web Services, inside Terramark or HP or Google or IBM's cloud offering. So you need something that is Protean, that can assume a number of forms or shapes in order to meet all the different needs that you are developing as an enterprise.
John, as we wrap things up, obviously next-generation firewalls have many more features than firewalls of the past. Does it also mean that more business groups, like application support and identity, need to be involved with the purchasing process?
It's always a good idea to bring in as many of the affected parties as you can, and application development and support, a key group, people who are in charge of managing virtual space, people who are in charge of managing risk mitigation and compliance, as well as traditional network security staff, should, yes, all be involved in looking at the options that are available and making sure that once a next generation type product is in place, that its features are actually getting used, that you're actually taking advantage of the scope and the subtlety of the feature set and getting as much value out of it as possible. Because, you know, it's certainly possible, and it happens in some places, that all these extra features turn into shelfware. You know, they're there, but they're not actually turned on and in use. So if you've got all these people involved in the acquisition process, in the selection and specification of a device, then you're increasing the likelihood that you as an organization will get the maximum return on that investment by having them all involved in actually implementing and using those functions.
Okay, one last time, let's run down our list of the top features to look for when purchasing a next-generation firewall. Performance, identity and context awareness, application awareness, flexibility, low cost, open and well-connected, simpler manage, and Protean. That'll do it for this special SearchSecurity.com podcast. John Burke of Demerdes Research, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brandon. As I said, always a pleasure.
For more learning materials, don't forget to visit the other lessons in our security school at searchsecurity.com/securityschool. Thanks for listening. I'm Brandon Blevins. Have a great day.